Okay, Parshat Vayishlach, in my mind, from what I've learned from the Ishkosh, one of the most powerful pieces that he has. Vayomer Shlachani, ki ola ha-shachar, vayomer lo ha-shachar, ki imrechtani. Let me go. Right when Yaakov has wrestled the angel, let me go, because the dawn has broken. Vayomer. Yaakov says, lo ha-shachar, I will not let you go, ki imrechtani, unless you bless me. So Yaakov doesn't let the Malach go until he gets a blessing. Well, Yaakov Avinu, he wrestles with the Sar Shel Esav, and now he needs a bracha from this evil Sar Shel Esav who just wrestled him, and now he's going to ask for a bracha? And right after that, the Malach says, well, what's your name? You didn't know, you just wrestled the guy. You know who he is. You went after him. He was Yaakov. Why are you asking Yaakov his name? So why is Yaakov asking the Sar Shel Esav, which seems to be an evil entity that he just wrestled? I'm not leaving you until you bless me. And why is the angel saying, well, what's your name? Clearly knew it was Yaakov Avinu.
No, why is it Sar Shel Esav?
That all the Mepharshim say it was the Sar Shel Esav. There's a concept of Maisa Avosim Labanim. What happened to Avos will happen to is what happened to the children. History repeats itself. There's a fabric done in history that the Avos paved for us, especially Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is the father of the Gullus, the Jew in Gullus, which is many of what we're living through. It is what we're living through. That Yaakov is a Jew living in Gullus, you know, with love and with Esav, with all these issues they're dealing with. That is Yaakov Avinu.
He knew was the angel of
Esau? Yeah. I mean, according to that opinion, yeah. V'achar she'nifkash im ha'malach v'yavik imo. After he meets the malach, and he wrestles with the malach, v'gam noga b'kaf yercho, and his kaf yercho, the lower leg, however you say it, the back of his leg, I don't know exactly what the translation, upper what? Upper thigh bone. The gid arnasha, it was hurt, he was limping. The Malach wanted to leave already. I did my shlichos here. I'm ready to go. Amar Yaakov, im kizos yar livni. Is this what Jewish suffering will be like in the future? This is, in Yaakov's eyes, this represents Jewish suffering. This is a Jew suffering. The angel of Esav, the enemy Esav, fighting and hurting the Jew. Is this what Jewish suffering is going to be like? That after we go through pain and we get hurt and we're down on the ground, this is going to be our Savior? What that our big Savior is just said, okay, hands off, okay, you know, we'll call it, you know, ding 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 ding, the ring is over, you go to your corner. Is that what the existence of Am Yisrael is going to be like? Oh guys, I'm sorry, this is a guy. Just to go back, so Yaakov says, is this Jewish suffering? You hurt me, you get me down on the ground, you oppress me, and then you just leave, and that's it? And I go to my corner, and you go to your corner, and I'm left with my pain here? No. Jewish suffering is when we suffer, and we're down on the ground, and we're oppressed, what comes after that? Bracha. Bracha has to come after that. We can't just be that we're oppressed, and we're left oppressed, and that's it, go. You know, go try to survive. No, after the pain will come the blessing. And Yaakov is putting that into the fabric of history, that Sar Shel Esav, you're not going to cause me pain and get me down on the ground and hurt me and then just leave me. You're going to bless me right now, because anybody who makes the Jewish people suffer will end up blessing the Jewish people, like we saw like by Bilam. Any try to make the Jewish suffer. Baruch Hashem, it's very hard to talk about the Holocaust in terms of like, you know, he didn't even know the outcome, what comes out of the Holocaust. But I think that there was a blessing of the Jewish people after the Holocaust in terms of the amounts that we grew, the amounts, I don't know about by the Germans, and I'm not saying that, but there was a certain bracha. Sha'achara Yisum Yoshim Hashem Yeshua. That after the pain, Hashem will save them. Not just a savior of like, okay guys, now you're not in the death camps anymore. Okay guys, now you're not in the gas chambers anymore. No, there's a special bracha that Am Yisrael will live to levels that we never reached before. We can say the state of Israel, the amount of yeshivas there are. We're not just going to live on. We're going to live higher now. We're going to live with blessing now. Lo rakshi yispachu mitzorasein bilvat. Not that we're just going to be able to be putter from our pains, and that's it. Vinei know the shasar shalaisav husawa. It's questionable whether you're allowed to say this word. As I say, the Rav Shlomo would say, the brother samach mem. The Samach Mem Malach Lamed, that's considered like the bad Malach, the destructive Malach. Well, the Asid Titrachik HaMem, the Mem will be taken out of his name. Mimenu Shehu Bechinas Mavis, because Mem represents death. And it says in Yeshayahu Bola Mavis LaNetzach, eternally, in the end of days, death will be taken away. There won't be a concept of death. Shishor Bo'osios Sa'el. You take the Mem out of that, and you left with Sa'el. What is Sa'el? The Gematria Avaya Adonai. 91. Yudke Vavke Aleph Tal Dun Yud. 91. It's a very, very important number in Judaism. But there's Sukkah also, I think there's 91. Figure it out. 91. Yudke Vavke Ilan is also 91. 91, she malach kodesh ben tsari lamala, that the sar shel Esav, the samach mem, the brother samach mem, turns into yudkei vavkei aleph tav nun yud, that in the end of days we're going to see that they were just performing a shlichus of Hashem. Hine evecha Hashem, hine evecha yovedu. The whoever are evecha Hashem, hine evecha. Our real enemies, they'll be lost because they're enemies of Hashem. The samach mem. He'll lose the mem and turn into Sa'el, which represents godliness. And we're going to see that any oppression that we went through history, it was just for the Yeshua that Hashem had to bring more bracha to the Jewish people. Now, I can't say something like that. I'm not sitting in the Warsaw Ghetto in 1940. He's sitting in the Warsaw Ghetto in 1940. But this time, I'm not sure if he lost family members or not, but he sees that death is coming on. So this is not coming from Mordechai Kaplan sitting in Ramat Beit Shemesh and everything's good in life and everything's fine. Although we're going to be living very, very turbulent times very soon too. But that's besides the point. He's living in 1940. He's living in 1940 in the Warsaw Ghetto. You guys don't watch the news. He's living in the Warsaw Ghetto. 1940, and he's saying this, that there's going to be a big blessing that's come out of this. ולכן אחר שיעקב אבינו נשאה וקימו ותיקן את חלקו בעשר והכינו לגאולה עשידה. He was preparing the גאולה עשידה כבר נסקנש המלכו ביקש כבר טוב את ישראל. This is not the way Jewish oppression is working. Jewish oppression is not going to work. You oppress us and then let us go, and that's when we're going to limp away in pain. We're not going to limp away in pain from our tzaras. We are going to rise up and get the greatest blessings after tzaras. We're not just going to walk away from tzaras. We're not just going to be schleppers after tzaras. Our tzaras is going to take us to the level of bracha. Therefore, don't leave. I'm not leaving you until you bless me. You can't oppress the Jewish people and not bless us. Give us a blessing. So what is the answer? What is the malach answer? Mashmecha, what's your name? And what did the Malach say? No. Your name is not Yaakov anymore. It's Yisrael, which is the second name change that Yaakov had to Yisrael. Like, is there some chiddush there? No, your name is not Yaakov. Why? Why your name was Yaakov? Because you're holding on to the heel of Esav right when you were born. Like you were like holding on to the heel of Esav. And anything that you gained in life and any victories that you had in life, that's because you are holding on the heel of Yaakov. Esav. Meaning like this, until this, you kind of holding on to Esav's heel. You like just holding on to life, just surviving, just, you know, trying to grab evil and hold it down. But now, now after you asked me to bless, after I hurt you, and you asked me to bless you, your name is Yisrael. Why? You're not Yaakov, where you're like the schlepper on the side, you know, holding on to evil and the, please don't hurt us, please let me be the Bechor, please let me. No, you're going to become Yisrael, which is Berosh Vesaris. You're going to be the prince, the one that rises to the top. The Malach says, "Kisarite melukim v'manashim v'tuchal," because you struggled with God and with men, and you were able to. What does sarita mean? Meloshan sar. Mikodem sarita v'achakach v'tuchal. Gam kodem v'tuchal. Gam kishayu tzorasecha rabbis. Even when you were so oppressed. Sarita, you became a prince. You rose up. Gamkin Sarita, Lona Farucha. You didn't destroy your ruach. Your spirit wasn't destroyed. Bekirbucha. Ragam Az Haita Bekirbucha Sar. Now you are a Sar. You are a prince. You are at the head. You're not Yaakov anymore. You're not just holding on to evil and like just saying, "Oh, please don't step on me. Don't, you know, that's the Yaakov at the heel. Don't crush me. Don't this. Okay, thank you so much for not crushing me." No, you will be the Tsar. You will be the one above. You will be the Rosh Yisrael, Li Rosh. You will be the head. That's, and Yaakov Avinu is putting in the fabric of creation, fabric of history, that when Jewish people are pressured and suffered and oppressed, that we don't just walk away limping and say goodbye, okay, let me be in my own corner, now thank you for leaving me alone, you know, thank you for not hurting me more. No, now that you hurt me, I'm going to get such a blessing from this, and I'm going to become, I'm not leaving you until you give me a bracha. And he sees, wow, the Malach saw, wow, he really understands, he's not Yaakov. This is not some guy holding on to heel here. This is Yisrael. This is a sar. Kisarite melukim v'tucha. You're a sar. You are a prince. And this is the story of the Jewish people. Just one quick story to probably bring out this idea. It's a story of we'll say his name is Moshe. He was renting in a Kretschner, in an inn, and the parts, the owner came up and says, "Okay, pay up 10,000 rubles. I don't have it." He's like, "Listen, you got to pay by this date, or you're out. You're out." So, Kisarita, you have rose above and became a prince. But Tuchon, you were able. You weren't just a schlepper who just put his head down saying, "Thank you for not knocking me more. You know, thank you, Germans, for not like really wiping us out. You only took 6 million, but thank you for not taking 7 million. Really wiping us." No, we became this massive nation that Germany is helping Gilad Shalit come out of captivity. They were the main like brokers in the deal. So the story is, before, who told the story? The Belzer Rebbe, who escaped from the war. It's a whole story. His first dish in Tel Aviv. Or one story is a Tel Aviv, one story is a Haifa. I don't know which one. He was first Tish in Eretz Yisrael. You can imagine the ruach of the people, the mood of the people, destroyed. You know, they're thinking about all their relatives and their family getting destroyed in Europe now. And the Belzer Rebbe, he sat down and told this story to everybody. He said that there was a guy who owed 10,000 rubles. And the poet said, "Listen, by this day, if you don't pay it, I'm just going to kill you. You're dead." And this poet was known to be, he would kill anybody. So he spoke about his wife, "You know, I don't know what to do. Let's just run away." So his wife said, "You know, before we run away, go to our Rebbe Rav Noam Elimelech Lezhinsk and ask him what to do." So, "Okay, fine. I don't know what he's going to do for us, but let me go to Lezhinsk." So he put up a sign, you know, Lezhinsk, you know, anybody, you know, tramping. And someone stopped by, an 18-year-old man stopped by and says, "Well, why are you going to Lezhinsk?" So he told him the story. He's like, "Why are you bothering to go to Lezhinsk? You owe the guy 10,000 rubles. You got to save your family. Run away. Stop going to Lezhinsk. What's Rav Noam Elimelech going to do for you? Just get out of there." He says, "Listen, I'm going to go to my Rebbe. My wife, and I decided I'm going to go to my Rebbe." So he goes. He's waiting a long time. Finally, Rav Noam Elimelech is very old at this point. He tells the story to Rav Noam Elimelech. He says, "Okay, don't run away. You ask him for the 10,000 rubles. Next." And he's like, "Whoa, you didn't hear. I owe him 10,000 rubles. Next." And he didn't even get a chance to explain himself. He's like, "Oh God, he didn't hear me. He's getting old. You know, what does that mean? I owe him 10,000 rubles. And he's saying, I should ask him 10,000 rubles to stay." He's like, "Forget it." You know, he's going to his wife. And as he's coming back to the town, he sees the parts, like, "Oh my God." I was like, "Okay, Moshe, 10,000 rubles, it's overdue." So I said, "Don't have it." And he started beating him and beating him and beating him and beating him, blood gushing out of it. The parts thought he killed him. lying on the ground. Peretz comes home, and his wife said, "Do you know where Moshe went?" So he said, "Why?" He says, "Because Moshe helps me every day in the shuk with my potatoes, and you for sure don't help me, and he helps me with my potatoes every day. He brightens up my day, helps me bring the." And she saw, he starts getting nervous. He says, "Why? Well, you know, I don't know where he is." And he says, "Did you hurt Moshe?" Because she knew that he hurts people. He says, No. She says, "If you killed Moshe, I'm leaving right now." So he says, "No, I didn't kill him." And he says, "I gotta go." And he runs and he tries to find someone. And he starts shaking Moshe. "Moshe, Moshe, you're alive." And he's like, blood dripping all over. Then, "I'm alive, please, just finish me off." He's like, "Please, Moshe, let me take your doctor. Let me do this." And Moshe doesn't know what's going on. "Let me get you food." And so he's getting him better, putting him the bandages and everything like that. And the guy started realizing what's going on here. And the person's like, "Listen, Moshe, I need you to stay. You help my wife out. I can't have my wife leave me. I need you to be okay, and I need you to stay." So he says, "Okay." So he's like, I'll leave go over the money. You don't have to pay me 10,000 rubles. Just stay here." So you remember what Noam Elimelech said, "Get the 10,000 rubles." He says, "No." He says, "You have to pay me 10,000 rubles." "Pay you 10,000 rubles? You owe me 10,000 rubles." I said, "You don't have to pay me back." No. "In order for me to stay, 10,000 rubles." He's like, he knew his wife's going to leave. "Okay, 10,000 rubles. You got it. 10,000 rubles." He got the money. 10,000 rubles. So he went back to Noam Elimelech to thank him in a nice chariot this time. He wasn't trumping with the. He went to Noam Elimelech. He said, "How did you know?" Okay. He said, "I saw on your face that you were in pain. And I knew that there was somebody who looked at your sign and talked to you. He was an 18-year-old man. And his name was the Chozer Lublin, who was a seer, who was young. He was young. And all he saw is your pain. And he didn't see what comes after. He goes, I'm a little bit older. I'm able to see a person's pain, but more importantly, I'm able to see what comes after the pain. We don't get caught in the pain. There's something great that comes afterwards." So the Chozer was too young to see that. So as the Belzer Rebbe said, "Am Yisrael, we're stuck in pain right now. But we have to focus on that there's something great that's going to come afterwards. Kisaritim l'kimetucham. Don't just destroy me and then leave me, right? Give me the 10,000 rubles. Masarita, I'm going to be Yisrael. Bless me. Give me the 10,000 rubles." And that's the story of Am Yisrael and the Belz. Look at the Belz dynasty right now. From one Rebbe who was, he didn't even have children. This Rebbe didn't have children. He had a brother, had one son. His brother had one son. He became Rebbe when he was like 9 years old or something. And then look at Belz today. He's humongous, thousand mega dynasty and everything like that. Because the Belz Rebbe said, you have to see what comes afterwards. So Yaakov put that in for us. Whenever Jews are oppressed, we don't just leave the battle broken and wounded and just walk off saying, "Thank you for not finishing me off." We say, "You wounded me, you hurt me, but I'm going to come back much stronger than you, and I'm going to be much." As all of our enemies throughout the history, where's Hitler today? You know the famous picture, famous story, the Panovitcher Rav going to Rome, and he said, "I have to go to the Arch of Titus." And he said, "Rebbe, it's 3:00 in the morning. He's like, I have to go there." He goes, "You guys never heard this story?" And he goes to the Arch of Titus, and he goes in Yiddish. He screams out. It's 3:00 a.m. He screams out, "Where are you? Where are you? I'm the Panovitcher Rav. I have a yeshiva in Bnei Brak. But where are you? And you think you're so mighty with the Arch of Titus. Where are you, enemy of Israel? Where are them? Where are them? Where are all of our enemies of Israel?" So we see this coming to true to our days. And we could see keep all the Rishayim in the world, Achmanajad, the this and the that, and everybody who we think is our enemy, that they're just, in the end of the days, the mem is going to be taken off them, and they're going to become, realize that they're the Sarita, they're the messengers of God, and maybe they're calling us to do true, whatever they're calling us to do. But all of our enemies, we will grow from, we'll rise our heads above it, and become princes, and we'll change from Yaakov, the one holding on to the Akav, to the Israel. Amen.